So I dig through his emails, and I find out he took his title and used it to secure a $16,000 loan at $310 a month for 5 years. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Don't Go Broke Trying. I am your host, Rennie. If you don't know me, I am a financial literacy content creator, and I make content on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, Twitter, all the platforms. And you can find me on all those platforms. I'll leave my links in the description box below. And on this podcast, this is Don't Go Broke Trying, and I essentially teach you how to not go broke trying to live your best life. So the topic that we're going to be teaching you about today is about financial abuse, and this is our Coinfessions episode. The Coinfessions episodes are essentially mini-sodes where we answer the questions that you have about a different topic, and today we are going to be talking about financial abuse. So the guest I have today is Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Ah, no problem.
And in our last episode, Beth actually told us about her survival through financial abuse. So if you have not yet listened to that, I highly suggest listening to it because it was a very impactful episode. And yeah, you can listen to it just scrolling your podcast feed or on your YouTube and find it. But in this episode, Beth is actually going to be answering some of the questions that you have submitted and the ones that I have found on Reddit. So are you ready, Beth?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And if you want to give a quick intro of yourself.
Sure. I am Beth Marchant. I am a graphic designer, freelance marketing help. I do a whole bunch of different things. And right now I'm kind of taking a little step back and mainly just focusing on myself and all of that stuff as I go through stage 3 breast cancer. So, I mean, that's the new twist on my life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, lots of stuff in the works.
Yes. And if you want to connect with Beth, I'll definitely leave her info in the description box below or the show notes so that you can connect with her.
Perfect.
So we have a few Coinfessions, and are you ready to get into it? Trigger warning for anyone who's watching. There will be content about financial abuse, domestic violence, some physical abuse. There are a bunch of different things. So just a trigger warning. This will be a more heavy episode. And the Coinfessions are also pretty long because we need detail.
Of course. Yeah. Context is king here.
Yeah. So just forewarning. And I love when you all give your feedback and you weigh in on the top on the Coinfession. So you can either go on our Instagram page, DGBT, or Don't Go Broke Trying on Instagram, and give your feedback on each situation and give advice for the people who are writing in. Or you can go on our Twitter as well. It's there too. Okay, so first Coinfession. Is this financial abuse? I am a 24-year-old female with a 9-year-old relationship and 3-month-old son, and I have been struggling with my relationship. My partner, 27 male, has a yearly income of around $55,000, and my income is around $19,000. I have been questioning my relationship lately as I feel like a stay-at-home slave most days, as I can't go back to work yet due to surgery booked for mid-August, and I have a 3-month-old. I have no income. My partner has the only income at the moment. I was scheduled to go back to work on the 15th of August, but now I cannot go back until October. I studied an online course in 2021, and then I got pregnant. I was excited to start my career. We have been fighting mainly about money. He has an app on his phone that he adds groceries, rent, baby formula, and lent money, pretty much tracking the burden of expenses that I cause him. And the list goes up and up, and he is very set on that this is his money and I need to pay it back. I'm not a girl that wants everything dropped at my feet. I know I need to go earn my own income, not for myself, but for our family. Mental health also plays a big part in this, but my partner refuses a mental health support plan. My problem is him having this list. It's a constant reminder of me being in debt to him and how much money he has lost. This list has all my owing, and right now it's at over $8,000 over the 9 years. I have always worked, always paid my half of the rent, food, supplies, and now I find it quite ridiculous that while having a 3-month-old baby, I find this quite ridiculous while having a 3-month-old baby and being in a family. Is this a relationship or slavery? Is this financial abuse?
Yes, 100% that's financial abuse. Yes. There's no way around that. Mm-hmm. And so to put my answer into perspective, right now
I have an 8-month-old baby at home. So, girl, he could also be raising your child.
Right.
Right? There's a cost associated to that. Mm-hmm. So if you are staying home and raising your child, and right now, to give you a rough idea, we've gone for daycare tours. Daycare for an infant, you're looking at anywhere between $1,800 and $2,000 a month. So you staying home, raising your child is worth at least $1,800 to $2,000 a month, because that's what it would cost for your baby to go to daycare mm-hmm. while you work. So right off the hop, he's not lending you the money for you to raise your child. So you could either tell him that he can pay half of that to you in exchange for you raising your child, or he can do it. Like, yeah. I mean, there's some equality there. But keeping track is of like what you owe him is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like if you're in a relationship, it's a partnership and you're each contributing differently in different ways. And a lot of times we as women, we take on this massive mental load of running the house. Mm-hmm. We take on the mental load of making sure our children are safe, making sure our husbands have everything they need. We fall into this role of default parent and default housekeeper and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And there's a cost associated with that. We don't like to talk about it, but like at the end of the day, you're giving up your time to make sure that all of these things are done for him. I bet you he does not have to cook his own food. He probably does not have to do the groceries. He probably, like, you know what I mean? Yes, he's paying for them, but I mean, is he actually doing the work to make that stuff happen? Mm-hmm. If not, there's a cost associated with that. Yeah. So I think it's definitely abuse.
100%. If
they're keeping track of what you owe them, like, yeah, who does that?
He's acting as if she's not contributing anything to the household. It's like, oh, you're just taking. You owe me this money.
Let me tell you what a full-time nanny costs, right? My friend. Like, right?
And
he
also
should be paying you for
$8,000 over 9 years. That's the cheapest wife I've ever, like, what?
Right?
What kind of,
right?
Like, yeah, crazy. I'm sure many people would love their wife to only spend or cost right? low. You know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. That's wild. And I mean, I do understand the low income side of that is hard mm-hmm. when you are that cash strapped. Like, I've been on welfare. I've done that. Like, that broke life.
Yeah.
And it is hard. Yeah. It is very hard. But that said, I bet you any money that woman is also looking at grocery coupons and doing the work there mm-hmm. In order to stretch that dollar. So that also takes time. That also has a value. So I don't think no, girl, no. You do not owe him money. And yes, that is financial abuse.
Yeah. And I want to emphasize, there's nothing wrong with tracking your expenses.
Oh, no,
that's,
of course not.
That's not the issue. The issue is the way he's tracking it and attributing all of it to you and making it seem like you have a running tab that you owe him.
No.
That's very manipulative.
Well, and in a relationship, like if suddenly my partner can't work, or like you had said, you have surgery coming up. I'm sorry. Like, if my partner can't work because he has surgery coming up or something, I'm not going to be like, I'm not feeding you this month unless you contribute your grocery bill. Like, that's the father of one of my children. Like, I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, you're the mother of his baby. Like, why on earth would he want to keep a tally on how much food you owe him? Like, that's wild. That's absolutely not normal.
Absolutely ridiculous. And okay, so let me read a few of the comments that people wrote. One of them was quoting, and the list goes up and up. He is very set on that's his money and I need to pay it back. And then the person responded, then maybe he needs to be paying you a reasonable rate for childcare.
Yes.
This does sound like financial abuse. And frankly, he sounds like a real asshole. He thinks you need to pay him back for baby formula. Like, what?
Yeah. You're not feeding your own child.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild.
Yeah. And then the original poster responds and says, I've made a list of all the childcare, cooking, cleaning expenses I'll need to add to my list to pay it back.
Sorry, she has to pay him for cleaning supplies?
Cooking, which he's eating.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, girl.
She said, he wants to argue and talk about the list while he's at work. I'll get messages from him saying we need to talk every single pay, and it's giving me major anxiety, and I feel at my wit's end with it. I'm sure he wouldn't like paying child support because I can't get any government payments because he earns too much. I feel for this woman. I really feel for
her. No, I'm sorry. Like, at that point, like, you – okay, so in that situation, she's doing all the childcare. They would still be getting a baby bonus because you get a baby bonus for all your babies. Mm-hmm. So, and she's considered low income. So girl, like, that baby bonus should be going into a bank for you, like in your bank account, because you are the one doing the child raising. That money doesn't go into a joint that then he has. If you're in charge of the child and you're doing all the work for that child, that baby bonus goes into your bank account to help you support that child. Yeah. So like, start that nest egg. Yeah. And if you're that stressed out and that anxious and that miserable in your relationship, you're not going to be more stressed out and anxious and stuff on your own.
It's time to leave, sis. It's really, it's time to leave.
Or he radically needs to change, and there needs to be counseling. And where counseling, she said there was mental health concerns.
I know, that too.
There is never a downside to paying into counseling and mental health support and that kind of stuff. And I am the first person to say, like, if you have to pay for counseling for your marriage or your children or whatever, like, pay for it 100%. Yeah. But like, if he's not willing to go to counseling with you or pay into your mental health, like, there's
run.
Why does your partner not care about your mental health of especially the mother of his baby?
3 months postpartum.
Oh man. Like, 3 months postpartum. If, like, when I went into it, I literally told my partner, I'm like, if I am weird at all, you drag my ass to counseling.
Yeah.
Because
I'm going through it.
Because you're going through it. And like, as a new mother with like your hormones and whatever, and like, if he's making you feel crazy, it's like, gaslighting is so easy when your hormones are through the roof.
Facts. Yeah. My advice is to leave this man. Or first try the counseling.
And then.
And also try, how would she in this situation start building her nest egg? Through the baby bonus?
I would start with the baby bonus. Make sure you have your own bank account if you don't already. Have your own bank account. Go on to your CRA account, switch the direct deposit to your own bank account. Yeah. And if he asks about it and he argues, you say, like, look, this money is for the raising of the baby, which I am doing. Mm-hmm. I am raising the baby. I am doing the child care. So that money goes into there.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's kind of where you have that opportunity. If he wants to build up his owing, you let him build up his owing thing. Because when you go to court for separation, the court is not going to be like, oh, you owe your husband who was – while you were on maternity leave, whether you get maternity leave or not, you're raising his child and not charging him for it. So, like, I'm sorry, no court's going to be like, oh, he has a tally for $8,000 that you owe him. No, girl, that's not going to happen. He's going to owe you alimony and child support.
This
and
man needs a lot of help. Yeah, so I hope you find the courage and the confidence to putting yourself. You can do it.
Yeah, she can.
You can. Confession number two. Is my 25 male girlfriend, 25 female, being financially abused by her parents? Backstory. My girlfriend and I have been in a long-distance relationship for 6 years and are both living with our respective parents. She was a traditional college graduate and landed a full-time job right after with a comfortable salary. I was a college dropout and only recently got my bachelor's last August, as well as my first full-time job. The gap between her graduation and mine was about 4 years, and in those 4 years, she was the one who paid for most outings, as well as the one to drive to the other to visit, which was about 3 hours drive. Okay. Since I only worked as a waiter, even now that I have my own job, she makes almost three times as much as me, so she continues to pay for most things. I should clarify that I never expect her to pay for anything. Her younger brother, 19 male, is starting his second year of college and recently moved into a townhouse near campus. Her parents aren't that well off and struggled to put her through college. And now with a second child going to college, they came to her for help. When I say they came to her for help, it's more like they expected her to help. Now, new furniture for the townhouse, girlfriend paid for it. Textbooks, allowance, frat fees, out of her pocket. The biggest thing is rent. They're expecting her to pay half the rent for the next 3 years that her younger brother spends in college. Recently, she broke down crying to me after checking her bank account while paying for more things that her brother needs. Her parents are completely unaware of the brother's involvement in the fraternity since they wouldn't allow it, so the fees and dues are kept secret between him and her. When she moved him in last week, she noticed all the partying that was already going on and slowly began to realize that for the next 3 years, she was going to have to pay for her brother's partying and to have the traditional college experience. All of it was going to come out of her own pocket. The money she could be saving for when we get our own place together is slim to none with all the support she has to now provide for her brother. While she was breaking down, I continued to remind her that it's not her responsibility to provide for her brother, but her parents are expecting it. They didn't even ask, but felt entitled to financial help that she can provide. I told her to move out and just tell them no, but she can't bring herself to. She even mentioned the stress that comes with paying for all our outings the last 4 years. She calmed down after I let her vent for a while, but I'm still unsure of what advice to give her since I've never been in her position. The way I see it, she can either tell them no and go from there or move out, but when I told her this, it didn't seem to help. She has such a hard time telling her parents no and feels trapped in her parents' house, even though she can clearly financially support herself if she moves out. I wish I knew what to tell her to give her that push, or on the flip side, what to tell her so she can sort something out with her parents. So, is my girlfriend being financially abused by her parents?
Yes, of course. I think it's tricky with parents. I mean, in a perfect world, your parents are a resource for you, right? And it's, I mean, from her little brother's perspective, like, I'm sure he went to his parents and was like, I can't afford this. And they were like, well, your sister can help.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me that the expectation is there. Yeah. That, I think, is where I struggle. Like, I know I could, like, if I was in between a rock and a hard place, I know I could go to my brother and be like, I need whatever. And my siblings would absolutely pour in with whatever help I needed. Mm-hmm. That said, if I went to my brother and I said, listen, Zach, I need you to pay my rent and my party fees and all of these things while I go through college or university so I can have this experience, mm-hmm. he would tell me to get up off my fucking ass and go get a job and work, because he'd be like, if you look at statistically, so many people work and put themselves through college and university. Mm-hmm. And even like the writer was saying, like, you know, she didn't get tons of help from her parents and she did it. She worked.
Yeah.
Like, girl, you worked for that. And now you're like, you're giving it away. And yes, you're giving it away to help your family. And that's there's like, that's admirable. But I feel like there could be a better way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Whether you, if there's, I can tell she's hesitant to just walk away and move out. Mm-hmm. But you also have to think of your financial future in the long run. So maybe it's time to maybe sit down, or even just if you sat down with like a financial advisor maybe and just laid out what you could comfortably help your brother with. Mm-hmm. If you still want to support him, figure out what you could comfortably do and say, like, this amount I'll loan you. Draft up a legal document. You can loan him the money to put him through school, or say, I'll give you X amount of dollars a month. I'll pay your rent. Sure, your rent is whatever, say $3,000 a month, whatever it is. If you're comfortable with that, give him the rent, and then say, above and beyond that, if you would like to loan, to borrow it from me, I'll borrow it and charge you 2% interest. Mm-hmm. Girl, you're never going to find a 2% loan anywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something though. And then it at least gets it in paper, and then if it's written down, I feel like you're less likely to be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
But you should not be paying for his party fees.
No.
Especially if his parents are unaware of it and you're keeping it on the down low. Like,
yeah.
That's stressful and so not called for. Like, I just think that's definitely financial abuse, and it's really shitty that it's coming from your parents.
Yeah. I want to empathize with you, because I know that, especially like, if I don't know if this person's Nigerian, but in the Nigerian culture, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, you take care of your family.
Of course.
It's especially for the first daughter, I feel, or first son, I feel like it's a big responsibility that's kind of expected of you.
Of course.
But the expectation is the problem. Like, it would be, if they ask you, that's one thing. Sure. You can say yes or no, but it's expecting, and it's like, you don't really have the option to say no. That's where it borders on the abuse part. So I empathize with you. I feel you. Like, honestly, I get it. I really get it.
Yeah.
But you really need to put boundaries in place with your parents and mm-hmm. let them know that this is not okay. Especially the frat fees. Like,
oh, come on. No.
Your brother is old enough to get a job if he's in university.
Of course.
We've both had jobs since high school, middle school.
Right? Like, I was 14. Yeah. My 14-year-old is applying for jobs now.
Yeah. Like, if your brother truly wants to go and be in a frat, he should go do that on his own dime. Like, I really think that your parents are taking advantage of you right now. And they're also taking advantage of your kindness, because they just know that you're not going to say no to them. And it's probably because you feel some guilt towards them. Like, oh, they helped me through life. They raised me, basically. Sure. So let me give back. But it's not your responsibility. I know it's hard to actually understand that, but it's truly
not. And it's not her responsibility to raise her brother.
That part. It's your child.
It's your parents' responsibility to help your brother. So yes, you can help your parents, and yes, you can still help, but it shouldn't be at the detriment of your financial security and your mental health.
Yeah.
Like that's not okay.
Yeah. So I think your advice about going to a financial advisor was really good advice.
And just because then she can put it back on the financial advisor. She can use that as a buffer and just say like, you know, I'm being responsible and I'm planning out my future and I want to be able to buy a house and I want to be able to plan for my life with my partner. So this is what my financial plan looks like for the next 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Yeah. And then, you know,
put it on the expert. The expert told me that this is all I can afford.
I can only budget this much if I want to do this. Yeah. And my financial future is more important than my brother's frat parties. Because it is.
Much more important. 100%. And I know you want your brother to have a good university experience or college experience. But his frat fees, he can pay that himself. 100%. And again, I know it's hard to make this decision. But you really do need to make it for yourself, for your own mental health and for your own mental health because 100%. And for your financial future. Again, your brother's not your child. And I think setting a number that you're willing to give him every month is a good idea. Like say after $1,000 a month, I can't afford anything else. And that's it. Put them on an allowance essentially. Yeah. Like they're on payroll.
Yeah, and you're the one with the money.
Yeah, you are in control. Don't feel bad. And honestly, sometimes with toxic people like this in your life, you have to like go no contact with them or like set a big boundary. Yeah, so.
And I think too, the other like, I mean, a small note on that too, like you, if you're looking at like, what's your return on investment for frat parties?
Zero.
Like nothing. Yeah. So like this, the amount that you're pouring into it is not, you're not getting that back.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. No. Is he going to cover your retirement fee? Like, right? I don't know.
He's not covering anything. Okay. No good. Yeah. Next coin fashion. And everyone who's listening, make sure to respond on Twitter or on our YouTube page and give your take on all of these.
Yeah, because this could go so many ways.
Yeah, this could.
Big argument.
Yeah, this could. Okay, next. Next coin fashion. Is this financial abuse? I'm in a 7-year marriage with a toddler. I'm a stay-at-home mom with a husband who works very hard to support us. About a year ago, he got addicted to trading stocks. I saw him take about $400 from our shared bank account, and I told him to stop when I first found out. At first, he said, he's the man and makes the money, and he can do whatever he wants. And then we came to an agreement about him still playing stocks as a day trader, but having a monthly budget that he could not go over. Well, it kept happening, and he was taking more and more money out until I finally had to call the bank to change the bank passwords and lock him out of the accounts. He said every day that he would stop, and he did so for a while, but then I see an email that says $400 was deposited from an account that, I think she meant withdrawn, from an account that I don't recognize. I asked him, but he lied and said it was just, that was it, just $400. But then I remember he was asking where his car title was the other week, so I dig through his emails, and I find out he took his title and used it to secure a $16,000 loan. At $310 a month for 5 years. The car is only half paid for, $10,000 left on the car. So we now have a $245 regular car payment and $310 for the loan. I confront him and he gets mad and says he is the man, he makes the money, and he can do whatever he wants. I cry and he gets even more mad, but then later says he will make enough money to pay the loan payment and put money in our savings account and it will be fine. I compromise again, and I tell him he can do whatever with the money as long as he transfers me $7,000 so I can pay it towards the loan, and whatever money that he makes needs to go towards the payments. And then he can just add money here and there to our savings with 50% of his profits. I typed out a document, and he edited it, and I compromised again with 40% into savings from the profits and not being allowed to log on during trading hours. This was going fine. He was sending me screenshots of his winnings and saying how great he was doing. But then when it had been a week, then 2 weeks, I still never got the $7,000. I asked him and he said it probably takes a while and he would check it later. I waited another week and decided to log into his stock account. Well, there was hardly any money there. Out of $16,000, there was only $2,000. I threatened divorce. I told him I would divorce him if he did this again. I couldn't take the lies and the betrayals. I just wanted to be involved. I tried to make it where we were partners and had open communication, but he blew it again by going behind my back. We had many, many fights and arguments until he finally agreed he had a problem and said he would stop trading stocks, but still wanted to invest in stocks and wanted me to open an account and not give him the password, but let him help make the trades, like which stocks to buy, how many shares, etc. So we did that and bought stocks, and they are there still making money. He had actually stopped playing the stock market. When I did my 2020 taxes, I finally saw the damage and couldn't believe he had done this to us. He said he would never do it again. So from January 2021 until now, mid-April 2022, I suspected nothing and believe wholeheartedly this was behind us. I started my 2021 taxes and saw some information had been entered into it. It was for the TD Ameritrade account he had. He deposited $6,000 out of his check, $400 a month. Sometimes it was $1,000 a month, which I had no idea about. I thought it was going directly into our checking account because we were trying to save money and we were already taking out the maximum retirement out of his check, plus health insurance. So I had no idea he was taking money off the top without telling me. I confronted him and he said he can do whatever he wants. He's the man. He makes the money and he can spend $400 a month on himself because he works hard. I couldn't believe it. He couldn't even see the point, my point, that I was hurt, that he lied and kept it from me and broke his promise of not trading stocks because he got in too deep and had become addicted. There's a lot going on. Man. But he lost all the money he put in, $6,000 in 2021 and now $2,000 in 2022. I am so devastated. I asked him after a few days of finding out, and he told me that yes, this is his account, and he knows exactly what's been going on. Long story short, she wants to know if she should stay with him. She's a stay-at-home mom with no job. I really don't know what to do. I just want him to stop lying and keeping stuff from me. I was hoping to get some advice about what anyone else would do. He's really the love of my life, and I'm so heartbroken. So is this financial abuse?
Oh, your husband there has an affair with, is having an affair with the stock market. It's not a woman, but he's having an affair nonetheless because he's lying about it. He's hiding it from you. And just that whole, like, I'm a man, I'm in charge. Like, bleh, sorry, yeah. No. No. Oh God. No. Yeah. Run for the hills. Like, I'm sorry. Like, even if at this point, like, yes, he might be the love of your life, but that man needs help and he needs to do some serious work in changing himself. So, I mean, even if you leave just to make sure that you have a secure roof over your, like, your child's head and, you know, put, like, worry about yourself, worry about your son. And then, you know what? He can pay you spousal support and he can pay child support and figure his own shit out. And, you know, hopefully he gets help. Hopefully he does some counseling. Hopefully, like there's a very big addiction there.
Yeah.
Where, like, that man needs addiction counseling.
Immediately.
And you need to, in order to make that happen, you might have to leave. And, like, I'm not saying, like, it's a permanent thing, but you might have to walk away to make him realize the severity of his actions because he's jeopardizing your future and your child's future. Yeah. So, like, you might have to leave just to get that light bulb to go off.
Yeah, and addiction is a disease, right? It's 100%. Like, so I think he needs to go to counseling immediately. But I think someone has to be willing to go to counseling.
Oh, yeah.
And in this case,
he's not.
He's not willing. So no. As you said, maybe you need to leave in order to shake, like,
just to light the fire under his ass.
Yeah, but this is 100% financial abuse.
Yeah.
He's saying, I'm the man, so I should be able to make the decisions.
Any man that says, I'm the man, so I'm going to make all the financial decisions and you can't see the banking information is a red flag.
Red
flag. Just like, no. No.
Yeah, Yeah, it's alarming, honestly. This is extremely
terrifying.
Alarming. It's like he doesn't even care about the fact that, like, all these are your pooled resources together.
Yes.
It's supposed to be shared between you two. But he's like, yeah, let me just make this decision could lose us a lot of money.
Oh, no.
And it is losing you. It's not even like he's a good trader. He's
losing. No, he's awful at it.
He's awful.
He's awful at it.
And it would be, you've been so lenient. You've been saying, okay, let me make this compromise. Like,
yeah.
But no. The compromises end today.
Yes.
Today.
And I think, like, so, I mean, as far as, like, gambling goes, because this is gambling. Like, there's no way around it.
No.
It's not like he's investing in, like, slow growth stocks where, like, the money is always going to grow a little bit, but it's slow as fuck. He's gambling. Yeah. So, I mean, I have a partner who likes sports and he loves gambling on sports.
Yeah.
But that said, we have a budget and he knows that he puts $50 a month in and that's his budget. And then when he runs out, he runs out.
Yeah.
And we have the banking transparency mm-hmm. to see that that's what it is. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't worry about that. And like, you do you. Like, if you like doing that, $50. Fine. But you have to do it reliably and responsibly. And like, you would never, if he was gambling in a casino and put your car up for auction, like, you know what I mean? Put your car as collateral in a casino, you would leave him. You'd be like, this is insane.
Yo, the card, I even forgot about the card thing. That's nuts. Yeah, that's nuts.
The stock market, if you're treating it like a casino, is just as damaging.
Yeah.
So and girl, leave.
As you said, there's a difference between investing and trading and gambling. You are straight on the gambling side. Sure. There's no, and you're bad at it too.
And you're bad. Yeah, like no, run.
And I know you said that he is the love of your life and, you know, you've been in a 7-year relationship with him and blah, blah, blah. I get that. Honestly, I truly get it. It's hard to leave. And the deeper you get, the harder it is to leave.
Oh, absolutely.
However, in this situation, like, even if he suddenly magically changed, I think the fact that he violated your boundaries so many times, it just shows me that he doesn't care about you. No. Yeah. So
not to. And you know what? He might need that hard awakening like, holy shit, my wife just left me and took my child and it's my fault.
Yeah. To me, love is safety. Love is like,
you have no security there.
Yeah, there's no security in this.
And if he's going to pull that whole, I'm the man, I'm the provider, I'm all this bullshit, then he has to actually show up and be that security and be that provider. And like right now, he's not being a secure provider.
He's being a burden. That's what he's being.
That's a burden.
He's putting you guys in debt. No, it's a no for me. Here are a few comments from people. Addiction is a progressive disease. It only gets worse over time. I'm a heroin addict in recovery, but I can tell you it does not matter whether it's stocks, dope, sex, whatever. It will get worse until he gets help. At this point, I would speak to an attorney. Ask about freezing or separating accounts ASAP. This may seem drastic, but it's clear that he's going to drive you deeper and deeper into debt. I'm really sorry you're going through this, and I hope it all works out for you. And then another one. Financial infidelity is a hidden nature of criminal abuse. Financial infidelity is viewed as a premeditated crime because hiding or lying about money takes active and deliberate planning. And many people view this as worse than cheating physically on a partner. In this case, in the case of abuse, this is completely justified. This is a completely justifiable crime.
And I mean, you know what? If he loses all your money and the debt collectors start coming and you lose your car, you've now just lost reliable transportation for your child. Yeah. Like, that's not, at some point you kind of have to draw the line on like where are you putting yourself and your kids? And like, if your husband's not going to fall in line with what's best for your children, you might have to make some really hard choices regardless of whether you love him. Like, have kids.
Love is not enough.
Let me repeat that. Be living in a box on the side of the road because your husband lost your house and your car.
No, let me repeat that. Love is not enough. Okay. We need stability.
We need other things.
We need trust. There's no trust in this relationship. No. Communication, trust, transparency, safety. It's non-existent here.
So all those things that you
love
need.
Love is not enough. No. Okay. Next confession. Am I the asshole for calling out financial abuse of a disabled person? This is long and messy. That's what they wrote, not me. In point form, Rhonda is the custodian for a 30-year-old intellectually handicapped woman. Leonie Joy, the disabled lady, resides in a supported living arrangement assisted by government-funded carers. Rhonda has administrative control over Leonie Joy's personal finances as well as her government-provided disabled person's support funding. Leonie Joy has the mental capacity of a 6-year-old child. Rhonda has a 52-year-old adult daughter, Lola, who has a property and owns 2 horses. Okay, that was the backstory.
Okay.
5 years ago, Lola began taking Leonie Joy for 2 days on the weekend as a carer. She has paid government funding of about $300 per day for doing this. The government funding agency policies discourage the employment of relatives due to the obvious conflict of interest. Lola circumvents this policy as she is not a blood relative. I feel this is important as Leonie Joy has some personal issues that involve excess drinking and belligerent behavior, not characteristics I would seek in a carer for a disabled person. After a few months, Lola began charging Leonie Joy $100 per week for the horse, claiming that it was now Leonie Joy's and that she was paying $50 per week for hay and feed and $50 per week for adjustment. Prior to this arrangement, both horses belonged to Lola. It is standard practice to keep 2 horses together as they are pack animals. A handicapped person existing on disability support should not be paying a family member $100 per week to own a horse. Due to her disability, I don't believe Leonie Joy has the ability to comprehend that she is spending almost half of her weekly income on owning a horse. She could simply be told that she owns the horse and it would not make any difference. Am I the asshole for telling Rhonda and Lola that this is financial abuse of a vulnerable person or even a form of theft? Am I the asshole for trying to deprive her the pleasure of having her own horse, as I have been told? I don't think the guardian of a handicapped person should be taking the handicapped person's money and paying it to her daughter for the dubious ownership of a horse. They tell me it's all legitimate and none of my business. So am I the asshole for trying to deprive this handicapped person ownership of her horse? She will still be able to ride the horse every weekend. She just won't be paying $100 for the privilege of owning it. So yeah, this is,
I'm sorry. There's no, why does she need a horse? Yeah. Like, why? I don't understand the logic of owning the horse, because yes, there's obviously some benefit there, like therapeutically with her and the horses, and like, and that's their respite and whatever. And that makes sense to me. But to say that she now has to pay for feed and all of these things because you just transferred ownership of a horse that you were previously paying for and using anyways is wild. Like, that's, there's no reason at all, especially because it's her daughter. Like, it's definitely not on the up and up. That's not the way that program is meant to be done. Like, that respite program is normally built in so that the family that's raising this person has a break.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what, another reason they're not normally paying family members is because you're a family.
Yeah. They're taking advantage.
They're 100% taking advantage. Like, I would never think to charge, like, in general, like, I can't imagine charging, like, my child, because that's kind of how you put it. Like, if she's got the capacity of a 6-year-old, like, I would never take out of, like, my 8-year-old's bank account or, like, you know, off his child support or something to be like, oh, he's going to own this horse that my other, you know, like, just, it, that just whole thing makes me feel icky. Yeah. It's definitely not, I don't think you're the asshole, but I do think there's, it's a very delicate topic in terms of dealing with it, because, like, how do you, I don't even know how you would go about it. Cause it's, yes, it's not okay. It's kind of fraudy. It's, but also, like, how much of it is your business? Yeah. Like, is your business really? Yeah. I mean, it sucks. It's gross. That.
Yeah. To me, I think,
I don't know.
I don't think you're the asshole at all for wanting to call it out. I think the way you go about it has to be very
delicate.
Yes. Because the horse is definitely providing her something, you know.
Of course. She,
but they are taking advantage of her. So you need, I don't know how you're going to broach that conversation.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Who I don't do you know. Even tell? Is there, who do you tell? I don't know. Like, maybe there's, is there like, does the government have a number for that kind of situation? Mm-hmm. They probably do, because realistically, I mean, if they're not supposed to be paying respite care to family members for that situation, there is probably a number to call for financial, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm. I don't know what that number is, but I'm sure there is one. If you could file it anonymously, maybe that might help. I don't know. It's such a delicate situation.
It's fishy. Super
fishy.
Okay. So, and the reason I brought this one up is because I want everyone to know financial abuse does not just happen between romantic partners. It happens between parents and children. It happens between
friends.
It can happen in so many situations. It can happen. Yeah. Some of the comments said, not the asshole, but if you feel strongly on it, you need to take it to a lawyer and see if this would constitute as financial abuse and then have the police look into it. It's $100, which in her case is a lot, but why does she need a horse on disability? If disability found out, they could lower or withdraw her from the program, since the horse would be considered a liquid asset and can catch a fair amount. And also, I'm sure the horse is not truly her. She doesn't own, like, if she wanted to sell the horse.
Yeah, no.
So
she wouldn't see a dime when that horse actually gets sold.
Yeah. Another person said, not the asshole. Dot your I's and cross your T's. Make 1000% sure you have all your information correct before you report it to anyone. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And I think too, like, if you're close enough to it, if she owns the horse, there's paperwork for that. So ask for the paperwork. If this is a situation that you're close enough to that you could ask about it, then I mean, maybe ask and say, like, do you, you know, like, is the horse legally hers? Because mm-hmm. that would be the difference on, like, are you paying room and board for a horse you don't actually own?
Yeah.
If they want to put their money where their mouth is and back it up that she does legally own the horse, then, like, let's see some paperwork.
Yeah. Okay, last coin question. Are we ready?
Yep.
Okay. Is this financial abuse? Are there different levels of financial abuse? My husband has his own bank account, which he refuses to add me on. When I ask him for the debit card for anything, even essentials, he asks, why do I need it? I have to beg to get basic stuff. He wants me to account for every dollar I spend. I have made the effort to compromise for him. It doesn't feel like a team effort. He finally admitted today that it is his money, not ours. Yet, he expects me to chip in for bills with my income. He is the main provider. I admit in the past I wasn't the best with money, but I have been changing my habits and have been much more responsible. I am okay with helping out with bills, but no matter what I do, he is still not happy. It feels like revenge, which hurts because he did the things in the past that I forgave him for, but he can't extend the same courtesy to me. I feel nervous buying essentials because I know he's going to hound me about it. I forgot to mention the other day he was looking at his account and some payments for stuff of mine came out. I paid him back by putting money that I had earned back in the account plus a little extra. He got really mad and bent his debit card in half since he can use his phone to pay for stuff. Basically, he didn't want me to have access to the debit card. He did later apologize, but still, it was jarring and scary behavior. He's never done anything like that before. I was very hurt by it. Is this normal relationship issues? Is this financial abuse?
That's not normal.
Not normal.
Not normal at all. No, I think if you're, I mean, it's hard when you, when there's like an income disparity, because you do want to obviously contribute, but I think, and I mean, these are all, a lot of them are coming from women. We have, as women, have spent so long in society doing all this unpaid labor. Yeah. There is a dollar attached to that unpaid labor. And it's like, we don't talk about that enough. And like your work as, and I say work because it's work, your work keeping that house going and raising kids if you have them and keeping the house going as far as groceries and cooking and cleaning and all of that stuff, that has a value. So I think if you have a joint account, because he does have his own bank account. So if you're asking him to go above and beyond what's coming out of your joint account, yes, I think he has the right to kind of ask. Like if I have a joint account, and I think if you have a joint account with your partner and you each agree to whatever your proportion of the bills are, mm-hmm. you put it in there. But that also has to include the portion of food and yeah. and all of that stuff. Like figure out your budget and figure out what you guys can equally put in. And then as long as that stuff is coming out of the joint account, it shouldn't really matter what you do with your money or his, like, and what he does with his money.
That's the point.
But you right? have to figure out that income level of how much you're each chipping in first, I think. Mm-hmm. And when you're figuring out that budget, you need to factor in the amount of unpaid labor you're doing that will offset, and he will have to contribute more financially to make up for that unpaid labor. Yeah. So I think if he's really not willing to see that unpaid labor as valuable, stop doing it.
Yeah.
Stop cooking. Stop doing his laundry. Stop doing all of those things that you do for free.
Let him hire
someone. And let him hire someone to do it and see what he would pay for it. Because yeah. it's valuable. And yeah. it's, yes, there's different levels of it. I mean, there's the whole like, oh, I have to ask for money. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. There's a level of asking that's not asking permission, but letting them know because they're your partner. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, some consent that way. If I needed to borrow money from my partner for whatever because an unexpected something came up, I could very easily go to him and say, hey, can you lend me $50 or whatever it is? And I wouldn't really worry about that. But I wouldn't be asking permission to use money. It's our family. Yeah. It's our, you know, if you're planning a long-term relationship with someone, I mean, do you not want the future to be financially successful where you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that having to ask for basic stuff and like where your bills are, like that's weird.
Yeah.
I think you maybe need to readjust how your situation is set up, and but don't forget your unpaid value, like your value of unpaid labor.
Yeah, they didn't mention if they have a joint account or not, but I'm guessing. So I want to emphasize that there's nothing wrong with your husband having a separate account. There's nothing wrong with that. It's his reaction to you wanting to use his debit card. But fair enough. If he doesn't want you to use his debit card, that's fine. But then he should compromise and have a joint account with you. He puts in his proportion. He makes a lot more than you. He puts in his proportion. You put in your proportion. And then from that pool, you spend it on the essentials that you need.
Of course.
Exactly. And make sure you're accounting for your unpaid labor that is definitely happening. But yeah, I don't like how he bent the credit card.
Yeah, that's wild.
I
would have been like, I'd be like, I'm that's scared. Your debit card that you just broke.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very gross overreaction.
Yeah, very scary behavior. I don't know. It sounds like, especially the fact that she has to beg him to use the money. It's kind of giving emotional abuse, financial abuse. Of course.
It's that, like, it's mine.
Yeah, I'm the man.
And I'm going to let you use it. Yes. Like, it's bullshit.
And yeah, don't.
Cool. So, you know what? Next month. And I mean, it's so funny. I get all these like, I'm like, yeah, just stop doing your unpaid house labor. I mean, it's hard to say that. If you don't have kids, though, mm-hmm. like, just stop, man. Stop doing the unpaid labor.
Yeah.
Invoice at the end of the month. I say that. I would never, in my wildest dreams, like, send my partner an invoice for the unpaid labor of motherhood. But I mean, if you wrote one out, it'd be hilarious to see what's on it.
They can't afford that.
They can't afford me to work for free.
No, they cannot. Let me just read one question before we wrap. I mean, one comment before we wrap up. This is my opinion. My wife and I decided that a joint account was one of the most important and trusting things we could do when we got married. We got a joint account when we were married in 1994 at the age of 21. We are now 49. Of course, money issues always exist in a relationship. We had to learn to communicate about it. Otherwise, it would fester and turn ugly. When you get married, money, bills, rent, mortgage, household items, kids, cars, everything becomes ours. I've seen many people try to keep separate accounts and it always turns to anger, accusations, and spite. This kind of behavior really bugs me. People should trust each other completely in a marriage. If things are withheld from each other, why get married as one? He needs someone he trusts to talk to him and see what the underlying problem is. Oh, wait, I think they did mention that she was... she had some like reckless spending mm-hmm. behavior before, right?
Yep.
So I think that's maybe where his
anxiety comes from.
But again, the joint account would solve that issue.
Of course, because then you can both see what you're doing. And if your bills and your, you know, all of your key stuff for your family is coming out of the same place, then I mean, there's no harm there because it's the transparency is there. And then I think that transparency is how you build trust.
Yeah. So you would observe her over time. Okay. After like 6 months, she's doing well. Like we can be more relaxed. Sure. But yeah, I feel like your behavior right now is a no.
It's just labeling her as bad with money.
And you deserve to be treated equally in your relationship. Yeah. Like the rest, nonsense. Yeah. He's not being a good partner right now.
And like transparency is key. Like you're not asking him for a bunch of money that you're not telling him what it's for.
Yeah. This is bare minimum. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those are all the confessions we have today. Thank you for coming on, Beth.
No problem.
If someone wanted to connect with you, how would they do that?
Yep. So I am on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on all of the things. You can find me at Beth M. Marchant. And
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on. And everyone, tune in to next week's episode as well. Have a great day and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Thank you.
I hope you learned something that will help you not go broke. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, make sure to subscribe wherever you're listening and share this episode with a friend. You can continue the conversation on Twitter using the hashtag DGBTpod. This episode was produced by Seldom & Co. with music by Wonder Girl.